Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Each and every year on Christmas Eve, many people around the world gather to read and to meditate on the narrative of the Nativity of our Lord that's found in Luke chapter 2. As you might know, or maybe not, it begins with a decree from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This registration is the reason that Mary and Joseph leave their home in Nazareth and go down to the town of Bethlehem, the town where Joseph traces his family roots. But there's so much more to come on this from this event in Bethlehem. For through Mary's child who is born in Bethlehem, God's light of grace will shine for all the world. It will shine for all the people, even for worldly rulers. Indeed, God has a plan in mind that far exceeds the plans of any of the government's machinery that's happening at the time. The part of the narrative that we're going to zero in on tonight is that of the shepherds who are in the region of Bethlehem. And this story will give witness to the light of this grace that shines for us all. Are you ready? We were living in the fields, keeping watch over our flock by night. The shepherds seem very much removed from the powers that be, don't they? Yet living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks was their job. It wasn't all that much of an exciting job most of the time, but there would be for sure some excitement that would unfold for them on this night. And the fact that this begins at night is an important detail. See, night implies darkness. The shepherds may not have reflected that deeply about the darkness of the night, but they would soon get a rude awakening as to how much they really were in the dark, and I think we with them. Ready? Then an angel of the Lord stood before us, and the glory of the Lord shone around us, and we were terrified. See, the shepherds weren't expecting any visitors. They certainly were not expecting God to show up on this night, but how did the shepherds first react to the sight of the light of glory? Well, according to the text, they were terrified. And they were terrified because of their fear of God. Now, such fear is appropriate, but it's not really that good of a news to any of us. For when this light shines not only upon us, but all around us, it means that there is no place to hide. There is no place for us to hide. See, we all are people who are held captive to the darkness of principalities and powers that are far beyond us. But this darkness is not simply outside of us, it's within us. It's our sin, it's our own darkness. And we do not, indeed cannot, escape our captivity, our enslavement to the darkness of our sin. When the light of God's glory shines upon us and all around us, the darkness is exposed and it lays bare the truth of who we really are. And we're all trying so desperately to hide this. We're trying to cover it up. We're trying to glory in our own self-righteousness. Why? Even think about Adam and Eve. They were trying to hide in the bushes to escape exposure for their sin. Noah, if you know his story, he hid in drunkenness. David, in adultery. Paul in his zeal, Mary Magdalene behind her 1-900 number, and even Mary, the mother of our Lord, tried to hide behind her age. In many of the same ways, I think we hide because we don't want to be seen as failures. We don't want to be seen as inadequate or less than stellar or less than capable. See, I think this is what we fear the most. We fear being exposed, even judged as the people, as the sinners we really are. But the fact that God shows up on this very night and he shows up shining the light of his glory, this is good news. Ready? The angel said to us, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." The angel's first words alleviate our fears. Do not be afraid. Those words themselves already are words of grace. As the story of the shepherds unfold, we'll find that God has come to free us from all the darkness of our lives and to give us the light of grace instead. The angel who shines this light of God's glory bids us to see, and see means to trust. We get to trust that God has come with a purpose in mind. God's light of glory is bringing us good news of great joy, joy for all the people. Folks, for all the people. That means that no one is excluded from this promising light of glory, that everyone may now come out of the hiding, out of their own hiding in the darkness, and trust that this light of glory is a light of grace into which God gives good news. See, God has come to cleanse, He's come to forgive, He's come to change, restore, and renew. Notice as well how the promising meaning of all the people is sort of this call back to an earlier phrase in Luke 2, all the world, referencing the emperor's registration. See, this good news, this light of glory is for our joy as the people of God, and it's something that we should celebrate. By faith, we trust that we're now God's people, who are emboldened to rejoice, and that through God's amazing grace, the darkness no longer controls our lives, it no longer controls our destinies. It no longer shrouds us and shrouds our hope, our records, our choices anymore. Yes. But where that trust is grounded has yet to be revealed. Yet don't fear. When it's revealed, it will be unmissable. Ready? For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Grace comes from the birth of one who will be a great victor over our darkness. This child is born in the city of David, Bethlehem, the same place and region where God finds these shepherds. And part of the joy of God's grace is He finds us exactly where we are, and He graces us there. See, Bethlehem was the place where David was born, and that should ring some bells for these shepherds, because David was once a shepherd just like them. And he went on to become one of the most powerful and known kings of Israel. To be sure, memories of David are further elicited in one of the titles that's conferred upon this child. This child is called Christ, or Messiah. As Messiah, He's the anointed one with whom God has made an everlasting covenant. God's grace will never run out. It'll never come to an end, as surely as God's promise to David never will. As the Messiah, this child will bring good news for all the poor, the blind, the lame, release from captivity all those who are held in the darkness of oppression by the principalities and powers of evil. But this child has two more titles, don't miss them. He's called Savior, because He's going to save people from the darkness of our sins. This child is called Lord, for He will claim us as His very own. He'll bring us into His design and will and kingdom, so that darkness can never lay claim on us again. See, this light of grace shines through this child who comes as our conquering hero over the darkness of this world. There'll be no worldly leader who can compare to Him. For His reign will overcome all the darkness that has enslaved us, kept us hidden in fear and oppression. So who is this child? Who is this Savior? Who is this Lord, this Christ? Who is the victor that so graces us with His presence and promise that all the darkness will be overcome? Who is He? Well, easy. Are you ready? This will be assigned to you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Wow. This should sound familiar for those who have heard this part of the story. This child is the child of Mary, who gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, right? Some translations say, and laid him in a manger. Yet to be honest, the sign about this child sounds nothing at all like a glorious conqueror or power to be reckoned with in the world. All the emperors that I've ever known or read about it were born in luxurious palaces, trumpets blaring, announcements of their birth. They would be clothed in the finest of linens and sleep on the most elegant of beds. They'd have scepters and summer homes, silk robes and sumptuous meals, armies and all the trimmings. This is what royalty gets then and today. But not this child. For even as this child bears the glorious titles of Lord and Savior, like any emperor, he also bears all the marks of humility. He's to be wrapped in bands of cloth at the tender hands of his loving mother. He's not born in a palace, but a stable. There's no room in the guest room. And the lowliness of his birth, he is laid to rest in the most undignified of places, a makeshift bed, which happens to be where the animals feed. In fact, neither here nor throughout the entire nativity have you noticed we never even hear His name. He's just called child, baby, babe, depending on your translation. So, how can such a lowly, humble person be seriously considered powerful enough to overcome all the darkness of our world, all the principalities, all the powers, all the choices we've made, all the consequences that hold us so captive? Well, wait. For the light of grace on this promising little one is about to shine a whole lot brighter. Ready? Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The song of the multitude of angels might sound something like trumpets playing at the birth of a king. Even so, the only ones to hear it apparently are the lowly outsider shepherds. Still, the sound comes from the highest heaven, from the seat of God's own glory. It declares that God is to be glorified because it was his idea, it was his choice to send the Savior. That through this child there will be peace on earth among all whom he favors. Peace! Reconciliation with God and, I pray, with each other, with creation. God and sinners reconciled. There really is a light of grace for all the people, for all the earth. See, this child seems like somebody to behold, and when the angels leave them, they go back into heaven, the shepherds make their intent known just to do that very thing. Ready? Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. The shepherds make haste to the sight of this great sign. They can't wait to see this child of grace. And remember, seeing is believing. It's trusting and laying hold of the gift. When they get there, they find Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And what they see, what they trust, is a child that's very much like them. One who's human, just like them. One who comes in the same manner like them, but how much more lowly will this child become, even to the point of death? Death on a cross. And he's going to do that for all people. He's going to do that. He's going to bring grace upon all the earth. Indeed, this child will one day go on to be crucified and once again wrapped in bands of cloth. He won't be laid in a manger, but this time in a tomb. But that is the heart of the real joy for us. This child is not ashamed to be one of us. He's not ashamed to share the darkness of our lives, though perfect, so that he may shine his glory and his very presence over all the darkness. This child comes to take our lives, our sin, our pain as his own, so that we might have his life, his glory as our own. He comes to take our place, for he is human, but he is also God, fully both, fully able to carry this sin and the death, while at the same time fully defeating them. Defeating them through the tomb's mouth being opened and a resurrection being realized. Jesus is the first fruits of many more who will simply believe, of many more who will simply trust in his work alone. See, when God's glory comes at the end of time, it won't come alone. It comes with all those who have believed and have been saved. It comes with an angel's declaration and a trumpet call. And the second time he comes, he won't come in humility, but as the victorious Savior and Messiah that we do indeed trust. Today, that means that the outcasts are brought near, that nobodies by faith are somebodies. That one and all are blessed by the promise of grace that comes through the Son, who is our light of glory. See, the shepherds stand in awe of the glow of this promised child. They become witnesses of the message themselves. And apparently, Mary and Joseph weren't the only ones listening, for there were others who heard the shepherds' witness. The others wondered at their message, wondering, could this be true? Is this child really grace for us and for the entire world? Well, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Remember, when those shepherds leave, they return into the world glorifying and praising God. And this time, the song isn't the angels anymore. It's actually their own. For they sing this. Ready? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among whom he favors. Wow, such praise is a witness. And wherever this faith is witnessed, it shines the light of grace and the light of glory for all around. It shines grace right into people's darkened hearts so that they too may come to trust and become witnesses themselves of life-changing grace. Indeed, this faith is the one thing that we truly get to boast in, we get to glory in. Its source is the Son, it's the Savior, the Messiah, the King, the very light of glory himself who has set us free. It's a faith meant for the world, for all the world. It's a song of angels and shepherds, for lowly parents, for curious magi, for a city soon turned over. It's meant for those stuck in the darkness of self-righteousness and sin. For this child is born to save us from our sins, to lift up the lowly, to claim us as his own, and to reign in glory for all eternity. So tonight I pray that this grace may reach all the earth, every town and city, every place and palace, and may its joyous good news reach all the people everywhere, so that no one in the world is left in the dark. It may come through you. Together, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Good news indeed. Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.